us. We'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. The Bible said, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart." And he was, here's a big word in Bowden, Georgia, transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." While he yet spake, there's a word appears again. "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them." Here's a word again. "And behold, a voice out of a cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.' When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.' And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this time together. Thank you for your goodness of the week. And Lord, if on this first day of the week we've come, Lord, to worship you, God, in spirit and in truth, I pray that you would help me with the preaching of the Word of God this morning. I pray if it'd be one here lost, that God, you would deal with their heart. You would grant them saving grace this morning. Thank you for this family that has come and shared with us their heart and song. I thank you for them. I thank you for allowing us to have them this morning. I pray you'd bless their paths and keep them safe. Help us now. Do things for us that only you, our great God, can do for us. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. If you'll save your place, I'm going to read the parallel gospel in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. We'll start reading in verse number 27. Now, this great picture happened in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but John never wrote about it. We have different personalities. As God would use you to write something, you would probably write something a little different than what I saw. That's the way the Bible unfolds, by different personalities, but hear me well, they were all moved by the Holy Ghost. Every word in your Bible is right. Every word in your Bible is real, and every word in your Bible is relevant. Now, notice in this parallel gospel, you'll see in Luke 9, he said that, "And it came to pass that 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James, went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and underlined this, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. I want you to underline this. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Now that helps me a little bit today, where I seen that Peter, James, and John, as the Lord appeared unto them, there was probably the greatest Bible conference that has ever been held in this old world. For there was Moses, the giver of the law. As he went up on Mount Sinai, God had given him the Ten Commandments. I want to say today that we can't be saved by the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments are to show us how much we need to be saved. For none of us can live and keep the law of God. Matter of fact, when Moses was coming down the mount, he fell and broke that law. A lot of you trying to live good enough to get to heaven, but honey, you'll never live good enough to get to where God is. That's why He sent His Son to take your sin and my sin. I'm glad we're saved by the grace of God in this day and this hour. Now there was Moses, and then there's one of my Bible heroes appears, called Elias or Elijah. He was a man that wasn't scared of Jezebel too much till the last days of the preaching time. But he stood his ground and he called fire down from heaven. We still need some boys that can call fire down from heaven. Now there you'll see there's a representative of the law, Moses. There's a representative of all of the Old Testament prophets in Elijah. But then lastly, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine being in that Bible conference? Honey, we've had some of the greatest preachers in America preach out of this pulpit. Many have went on to meet the Lord. But could you imagine sitting there with Moses and Elijah and Jesus? Jesus, the teacher of all teachers. He was more than a good man. He was God-man. He was God's only Son, in whom the only time the Bible said, the only one He said that He was well pleased with. Now, preacher, what are you so tore up about? Well, I don't want to miss this. I want to give it to you. Brother Mike, it does my heart good to see that there on the Mount Transfiguration, three of the greatest preachers and teachers that God ever had, and that crowd went to sleep on them. Does my heart good. Punch your neighbor and say, wake up this morning, it's preaching time. And so here in this great Bible conference, there's Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Then there is Peter, James, and John. We see a representation of the law. We see a representation of the prophets. Then we see a representation of the disciples. But I sure am glad they didn't leave Him out. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because if He wouldn't have come here, me and you couldn't be here today. For He's the giver of life. And He hung on the old rugged cross to forgive you of your sin and me my sin. There's nobody perfect this morning. But honey, in the eyes of God, by His Son, you can stand redeemed and forgiven and righteous in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and this hour. Now, I want to preach on this topic this morning. Where we first read this text in Matthew 17. The Bible said that His face did shine as the sun. And then in verse 8, look what they said. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I won't preach on this simple subject today. On His face outshines them all. His face outshines them all. Now there was Moses, as he had received the law. The Bible said when he come down from Mount Sinai, his face shone. He had been in the presence of God. But you know what it was? It was a reflection off of the sun as the moon. But not the Lord Jesus, honey. For His face did shine as the sun. Now I want to say, first of all, by way of outline, there was a heavenly visit. Now isn't it amazing that only Peter, James, and John got to go up on this Mount Transfiguration? I've noticed this, that God pays special attention to those that really want to serve Him. Peter, James, and John, they were in business together. They were fishermen. You know, it's not so much that God, listen to me now, it's not so much that God loves some more than others. It's just some respond to God more than others. In raising children, you love all your children the same, or you ought to. Somebody say amen. But there are some that you'll like to spend more time with according to how they respond to you. Jesus loves us all. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus spends a lot of time with those that respond to Him in a very near and a special way. Now notice this heavenly visit. First of all, it was a noted place. Brother Jerry, they went up on a mountain with Jesus. I'm glad that He still sits in a high place today. In Washington and America, Jesus don't sit up on a high place. But honey, it's not changed what God thinks about Him, and it ain't changed what I think about Him, and it ain't changed what our church thinks about Him. Jesus sits on the high place this morning. And so, with this heavenly visit as Peter, James, and John go up with Christ, it's a noted place, but number two, it's a needful place. You know, I would like to encourage you today. Matter of fact, He took them up on this mountain. You know what to do? To pray. Have you prayed this morning? Do you have a place that you pray? I remember one morning that Megan had brought Sophie over, our third eldest grandbaby. I've got a place in my study that I pray. I've got old pine board floors in there. And I was kneeling in my prayer place. I heard the door crack and I heard them old boards go to popping. And I looked up, Megan, and Jason, there was Sophie. She is patting me on the back. She had her little head bowed and her eyes closed. Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, "Ain't you glad that she caught you praying this morning? I wonder, has any of your family ever caught you praying? They know where you hunt, where you fish, where you shop, but do they know where you pray?" It was a needed place. There's no doubt there's some of the greatest people in this audience today that God has in this country. But I want to remind you, sometimes you've got to part out of this world and go to your private place. With everything turned off, I can turn my cell phone off and go to my prayer place, come back, and I've got 9 texts, 4 messages, and 14 Facebooks. But honey, let me tell you, I ain't taking it to my place of prayer, for what he's got to say to me is a lot greater than what you've got to say to me or what anybody else has got to say. We need a private place. Get a hold of God. Oh, if there's ever been a time when God's children need to pray, it is this morning. It was a noted place. It was a needful place, but it was a noble place. You know, everybody don't get to experience what they experience. And I want to say today, everybody in church don't get to experience what you get to experience. For it is a noble place that we can be in the presence of the Lord. A lot of folks say it's the Lord's house, but He never does come by. They say, well, this is my church and their church. Honey, I'm glad around here there ain't a name wrote on nothing. It is the King of Kings and it is the Lord of Lords. And without Him, we can do nothing this morning. You say, that's my pew. It ain't done it. You'd look goofy taking that home on top of your station wagon this morning. Ain't nobody got your seat because you ain't got no seat. It's the Lord's house and the Lord's seat. And it's the Lord's doings. Oh, what a noble place to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, some of my greatest times have been at this church and other churches where God would come in and move and we could sense His presence. You say, preacher, how you know God lives? Because every now and then, thank God, I'm feeling. I get to see Him every day. Every morning I walk out in that breeze blowing through them trees. And when the rain falls and the sun goes up and the moon goes down, there's a God in heaven that's setting it all in order this morning. What a noble place to be around where God's at. I appreciate these young families raising their children around where God is at. It's very needed. The average Baptist church in our day and hour, they don't even read out of a King James Bible. Their music is something of the world. You don't even know what they're playing or seeing or reading. But thank God, there's still a handful of people that want to realize God. We need to go on a high place and get along with you this morning. Amen. Whew. I bless His name. I praise Him. You say, preacher, you ought not cry so much. Well, if you'd let your head leak, it wouldn't swell near as bad. Oh my, how we are so undeserving to be around the presence of God. Heavenly visit. Number two, a heavenly vision. Brother Randy, look what happens in the Bible. Verse 2 of Matthew 17. And He was transfigured. That word is our word metamorphosis. Aren't y'all proud of me? Brother Mike, I had to look that word up. And I wrote it down so I'd say it right, because a country boy don't use that every day. But I won't tell you what it means in Bowden vernacular. It's a change of form in which is on the inside is being revealed on the outside. Oh, I'm glad that Jesus unveiled His glory and let folks see really who and what that He was. Now, this was a transfigured Christ. This heavenly vision. Not only was they a transfiguring, it's the same word as a caterpillar in its cocoon, and all of a sudden it brings forth and protrudes out into a butterfly. That's an amazing thing. Christ was so pure. He was the God-man. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled and separate from sinners. Somebody said, well, Christ just didn't sin. Oh, it's a lot greater that Christ couldn't sin. For He was God. The God-man. Therefore, we see He was transfigured. I want to say, secondly, not only in this heavenly vision was there a transfiguration, but there was a touching situation. Peter, James, and John never got over this day. You know why I say they never got over this day? Because all three of them wrote about it again. In John chapter number 1 and verse number 14, John had something to say about this day. He said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh my. Then James had something to say about it. In James 2 verse 1, the brother of Christ, he never got over it. He said in James chapter number 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. Seen Him as the Lord of glory. And then thirdly, one of my Bible heroes, Simon Peter. I loved him, but he talked a whole lot. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look what Simon Peter had to say. He said in the second epistle of Peter chapter 1 verse 16. He said, for we've not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. They never got over it. This heavenly vision was a transfiguring, but it was a touching. And it was a transforming. It changed those apostles' lives. You know, when you see Jesus the way they seen Him, it'll transform you. You know, a lot of people see Jesus just as a good man. Jehovah Witnesses, this is what they'll preach to you. Jesus is a real good man. Oh, honey, He's a lot greater than that. He's God, man. They say Jesus was a good prophet. Muhammad would say He was a good teacher. But I got something, good news for that Muslim crowd that's going to die and go to hell in their sins. The Lord Jesus was God Himself. And Muhammad's going to bow to Christ one day. They're going to cry, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. There's a preacher preached here not long ago. Brother Larry from Mount Airy, one of the best friends I've got preaching. He is preaching one morning. I never seen this thought about where every knee will bow. You know, David went down to meet Goliath in the valley. David picked him up a smooth stone and he slang. And he turned it loose and the Holy Ghost took that rock and hit old Goliath right between the eyes. You know what the Bible said? He fell forward, flat of his face. Every knee shall bow. Oh, you may think you're a big shot today, but you're going to meet the King of Kings one morning, and every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I'm glad I've done got my confessing done to Him. And honey, we don't confess to a priest around here. We confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that if we'd confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all, oh glory, unrighteousness. When I sin and do wrong, Jesus will forgive me when I ask Him. And I sure am glad of that this morning. Not only a heavenly visit, but a heavenly vision. Have you seen Him? He sits high today. He's on the right-hand side of the Father. There's a heavenly visit, a heavenly vision. But in verse 3, heavenly visitors. The Bible said, and behold. That means look in here. Some of y'all need to write behold on top of your Bible because you don't never crack it till Sunday. It says look up in here. Behold! Behold! Now the heavenly visitors, look, there was two. Moses and Elijah. Peter, James, John never seen them before. How did he know them? They've been dead 1,500 years. Hello? Somebody said, oh, I believe if you die, you just go out yonder somewhere and float around. Negative. It's heaven or it's hell. You go to heaven if you know Jesus. You go to hell if you don't know Jesus. The two heavenly visitors. But then, not only the two, look at the truth. Moses. Hey, y'all, you know what? There is life after death. Heavenly visitors. All of a sudden, this is what the Bible says. There's asleep. Open their eyes. There was Moses and Elijah. So how'd they know who it was? You tell me that after service and I'll put it in my notes. All I can tell you is this, they called their name. You know why the Spirit of God knows everything? The Spirit of God had them boys write this down. See, the Spirit leading guides you into all truth. I love the Spirit of God that lives in me. Feels me. Every day of my life, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a lifestyle. You say, Brother Ken, why does the Bible say, be you filled with the Spirit of God? You know why? Because we leak. That's why we need the Spirit of God to fill us, to bring us light and instruct us. Sir, in business, you might have a good business mind, but you know what you need most of all? You need the Spirit of God leading and guiding you right. Ma'am, down there where you've got everybody fooled about how good you do your job, you don't need to buy the new manual. You need the Spirit of God to lead and guide you into all truth. The two, the truth, there's life after death. But look at the talk. That's why I had you read the Gospel of Luke. You know what they were talking about here in Matthew, it says, and they was just talking. Said, verse 3, there appeared unto Moses and Elias talking with him. That's all they said. I find out if I read my Bible through and through, I found out something that I didn't know in the previous chapter. What was they talking about, man of God? They was talking about the deceased. You know what that Bible word means? Exodus. Oh, he is going to a cross. He was going to die. But that word Exodus on the third day meant he's just going to leave out of here and go back home with the Father. Ain't that amazing? Now here's Moses and Elijah talking with him. You know what they're talking about? Calvary. That's a good topic. That's where he took every one of our sins and put them on a cross. And that's why we can look to him by faith and be eternally saved this morning. Born again by the Spirit of God. Any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his, what the Bible says. You better know the Holy Ghost lives in you or hell will be your home. Now, they were talking with him about his decease or his exodus. I could just hear Moses. Lord, you give me that law. And all of them lambs that we sacrificed. Lord, we're counting on you to go pay the ultimate sacrifice because you know what? We're just here on credit. Some of y'all get that after a while. You see, the ultimate sacrifice had not been paid. They had faith to what Christ was going to do, and God saved them. They were in Abraham's bosom. Jesus died on the cross, took the ultimate sacrifice, and sprinkled that mercy seat in heaven, according to Hebrews 9, with His blood. And now when God sees us, He don't see the law. He sees the blood. So I can just see Moses say, "Now Lord, all them lambs that have been slain, they just rolled our sin over from 1 year to the next. Lord, we're counting on You to go on the glory." There was Elijah. He said, "Lord," he said, "You're fixing to bring to pass Isaiah 53. For as a lamb led to a slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. Lord, You're fixing to bring the truth and the light, Psalms 22, where he gave his back to the smiter's pole." I bet the Lord said, "I was there when Me and the Father give You the law. Elijah, I was there when You needed fire to fall and I kicked it out of glory world for You." I bet He said, "But don't you worry, because I'm setting My face as a flint and I'm going to Calvary." Now, we either saved, don't get saved on credit. We get saved on the cash account. Jesus paid our price! You say, "Well, Lord, I wouldn't come in. I don't know why y'all get so emotional. Raise your hands and say amen." You get emotional every day of your life, just not about Jesus. He paid our price. I don't have to go to a priest. I can't go to a priest and confess my sins to him. He can't forgive me. No Baptist preacher can forgive you. No mom and daddy can forgive you. But honey, the Lamb of Calvary, the Son of God, can forgive you this morning. I'm glad I know Him. Do you know Him? There was a heavenly visit, the heavenly vision, the heavenly visitors. There was two. There was a truth. There's life after death. The Bible says we'll be known as we're known. When I get to heaven, I'll know every one of you that come to church enough and say that I know your name. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. We'll be known as we're known. You say, how will we know Jesus? His face will outshine them all. Me and old brother David going to hook up down there. Miss Sherry won't have a wheelchair there. I love y'all. I love you, David. Brother Tim, I see Brother Tim, Miss Brenda. See Brother Rodney, he'll have a gold hammer in glory. Brother Mike, I see you and Miss Sheila. I love you. We're going to see Joe Felton. God, I love that boy. Well, Felton bowed at that pole one morning. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to hell." God saved him. Look what He's done with his family. Hey, Brother Randall. You was with me, deacon in the first church ever pastored. We're going to see some of them old saints of God, Miss Karen, that gone on before us. You say, why you say that? Because it's the real deal. Brother Mike, you and Miss Fran, you ain't going to be changing no beds out in glory, honey. No, our beds will be made. Hey, Brother Betty, where you at? You hear this morning? Where Brother Betty? He ain't going to be changing no light bulbs. You know why? Because the glory of the Lamb will be the light thereof. I love old Brother Tex. Every time he'll come by me on his walking stick, this is what he do. He's going to make me stop. I'm glad he does. He makes me stop. He says, "How you doing, preacher?" I say, "I'm great. How are you, Brother Tex?" He said, "I'm doing better than I ought to be." Are you going to heaven? Brother Harold, y'all have traveled this country and sung a bunch of songs, you and Miss Joyce. Just think about Brother Scott, you and Miss Becky and Ben. Just think about what we're going to hear when we get over there. This gives us a little prelude of where we're going. Them disciples, those apostles, seen Jesus transfigured in front of them, and they never got over it. And if you'll ever get around the glory of God, you'll never get over it. These churches all around this country go to church, faithful, good people, but they've never experienced His glory. I want to close with this. There was a heavenly visit. Peter, James, and John got to go with them. There were some heavenly visitors. There was a heavenly vision. Then there was a heavenly voice. Brother Jeff, you know what happened? God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In a private place, I want to ask y'all something today. This smote my heart. In a private place, God said this about His Son. As Jesus was going to Calvary, soon to Gethsemane, John the Baptist had baptized Him. When He come out of the River Jordan, heaven opened. By the way, Jesus still opens heaven. And He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God said it in a private place. But secondly, God said it in a public place. Will God say that about you? "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." I don't know about y'all, and don't think it bad of me, but there's some things I'm trying to get rid of me about. I know some of y'all have arrived, but I ain't made it yet. This is what I've noticed about, though, Brother Harold. Brother Harold, you and Miss Jenny, you're not going to be pulling no forward excursion with a travel trailer where we're going no more. No more flat tires, brother. But you know, it's going to be an amazing thing. I've noticed the closer I get to God, it's not the cleaner that I become, it's the dirtier I get. When I get next, and let me tell you what I mean, when I get next to Him, He shows me how pure He is and how impure I am. You see, my sure to do good in the dark. But if I went down yonder to Southern Lady Cafe and got me one of them eggs over medium and busted it and spurted out on my shirt, it looked good in the dark. But honey, when I put it in the light, you know what I see? All the imperfection makes me want to go change clothes. See, our problem is we don't get close enough to God and His purity and His light that illuminates how wicked we are. It's not a bad thing that I want to try to work on some things in my life. You know what it means? I'm closer today than I was yesterday to Him. Don't let the devil drive you on the bench with your mind and say you're no good. Honey, let me tell you, you might not be where you need to be today, but thank God you ain't where you used to be. Brother Randy was teaching. He was teaching Sunday school one morning. God had my number. Brother Randy didn't have it. That Bible had it. He started reading a text there that I needed to hear. And when that light come on me, I seen something in my life that I needed to handle. I took care of that. You know what I got me? I got me an old-time Holy Ghost adjustment. That's what's wrong with our churches. There ain't enough light, enough power of God to change nobody. But Scott, I want y'all to come play something for me. I'm done preaching this morning. There was a heavenly voice. And then lastly, y'all watch this. This is what I want to say to you today. There was a heavenly verdict. They fell down at Jesus' feet. You know what Christ did? He didn't kick them because they're asleep. Matter of fact, I want to insert this right here just a minute. On that heavenly vision, all of a sudden Peter wakes up and he says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build a building." Who asked him anything? Who asked you anything? Sometimes we ought to be quiet and let the Lord give us what we need. The Lord didn't go. God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." He said, "Peter, I want you to know something. Jesus is not on the level of Moses and Elijah. He's way above them." He said, "Don't even be trying to put them in the same caliber. Because there's nobody like Jesus." That's why we don't build shrines. There's one that's holy, one that is supreme. That's the Lord Jesus. What you need this morning, as your preacher, at your church, what you need this morning. You know what Jesus done? Brother Mike, this is what He done. He reached over and touched them. And then look what this Bible does. It's an amazing thing what happens. He goes down off the mountain, don't send them ahead, but He goes off with them. This is the heavenly verdict this morning. They saw Jesus only. You know, it'd do you a good glimpse to where you're headed just to see Jesus only. Listen to me. I love mountaintop experiences, but we can't stay there. I love getting caught up in the glory. I love it, but we can't stay there. We got to come down. When we come down, guess what? There's somebody walking with you. You ever got feeling sorry for yourself? You ever said, "Lord, why?" I have. I've heard a lot of preachers say it's wrong to ask God why. Well, His Son asked Him why. He said, "Lord, why hast Thou forsaken me?" But I won't say this to you, Mom and Daddy. It may be the reason God gives you a mountaintop experience so you can get through your valley experience. They saw Jesus only. Had some good people there. Brother Chris, you know who I've noticed I can count on? Jesus only. I want my eyes on Him. I want my heart toward Him. Now, I want to ask you, as you preacher, what you need this morning. This altar's open.